Todsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I want to speak to you this morning on the righteousness of God. That's a very important term in the scripture, the righteousness of God. I'm not talking about human righteousness, but the righteousness of God. I hope you'll listen very carefully to this message. In Acts chapter 13, we read in verse 49, after Paul had preached that message in Antioch, that the word of the Lord was published, spread throughout all the region. It wasn't simply the apostles spreading the message, it was the people who heard and believed that message. They were spreading this message all over that region. And I love the subject of their preaching, the word of the Lord. Now, what is meant by the word of the Lord? Well, on the surface, the word of God, not man's word. Now, that's what I'm interested in hearing. I'm interested in hearing the word of God. I'm interested in hearing the message that is God's message. Paul put it this way in Galatians 1:11, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. It's not derived from any human source. He said, I neither received it of man, nor was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't care anything about Baptist doctrine or Catholic doctrine or Methodist doctrine. Denominations are man-made in the first place. I want to hear the word of God, and that is what they published, the word of the Lord. Now, in the context, they're preaching the message they heard Paul preach. Now, let me show you how this message ended up. We read in verse 38 of Acts chapter 13. This is Paul's conclusion to his message. He says, be it known unto you therefore. I've said all of this, so you will know this. This is the conclusion. This is what I'm leading up to. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now here is the message that was spread throughout this region. This is what they want to be made known, that through this man, through the Lord Jesus Christ, he's God, very God of very God, and he is the man, Christ Jesus. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is man, the God-man. There was a time when he wasn't a man, but some 2,000 years ago, he assumed human flesh for a purpose. He became man for a purpose. Man sinned. His people are men. He came to save them from their sins. And for him to do that, he had to become man. Through this man, there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Through this man is preached unto you, is declared unto you, the forgiveness of sins. Now, what I need more than anything else is to have my sins forgiven. I need God to do something about my sins. I can't make them go away. I can't make them as if they had not been committed. I need the forgiveness of sins. Now, listen real carefully to this statement. The forgiveness of sins is not something God offers you. You don't offer forgiveness. You forgive. Big difference. God never offered anybody forgiveness, and it's up to you to accept it or reject it. That's foolishness. You don't come into somebody and say, I'm offering you forgiveness. You never do that in human terms, and yet people say that about God. No, God forgives. It's not an offer, it's a declaration. You find out your sins have been forgiven. And they've been forgiven not because you asked for them to be forgiven, not because of anything you did. Let's go on reading. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him, by what he did, not by what you do, by him, all that believe are justified. Now, don't miss this. If you're forgiven, it's because by him you have been justified. Now, if you're justified, I've heard preachers say, well, that's just as if you never sinned. No, that's not what justification is. Justification is you've never sinned. You stand before God without guilt. Before his holy law. That's what justification is. You remember the publican in the temple crying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Christ said, I say unto you, that man went down to his house justified. Justified. Without guilt. Spotless before the law of God. Now, this is a great mystery, but this is the mystery of the gospel. How that God can be just and justify the ungodly through what Christ did on Calvary's tree. He put away my sins. He made me righteous by giving me his righteousness. I now have the very righteousness of God as my righteousness before God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. That's true of every believer. Somebody says, well, how can I know if it's true concerning me? Well, look what he says. By him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The evidence that God has justified you is you believe the gospel. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You believe that what he did is all that's needed to make you perfectly accepted before God. You rest in him. Now, this is the message that was preached in that region. Now, verse 50, wherever the gospel's preached, this will take place. But the Jews, the religious fellows, the same ones the Lord said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. The Jews, the people opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Gentiles are opposed to him too. This is not just singling out the Jews. But at this time, it was the Jews who were raising up this persecution against Paul and Barnabas. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. Now, the devout women, the word is also translated religious women. The religious women, the ones who were perceived as the good women of the town, the religious women, the devout women, the honorable women, perhaps wealthy and influential, and the chief men, the men of first ranking. These are the men the Jews wanted to stir up to raise up persecution against the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. They knew that these people would have influence, so they incited them. They stirred them up to raise persecution against Paul and Barnabas for this message. Now, the token of God's blessing is persecution. Now, let me repeat that. the token of God's blessing, the token that the message is the gospel of God, is persecution. Paul said in Galatians 5:11, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, salvation by law, why am I suffering persecution? Then would the offense of the gospel be ceased?" You see, the offense of the gospel is the message of pure, free grace. If you preach works, you're not going to be persecuted for it. But the promise of the gospel, the promise of God's blessing, comes with it persecution. What's the last beatitude? Blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now remember, the title of this message, The Righteousness of God. Blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now that's a state of blessedness. It's the last of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, what does that mean? What is the Lord speaking of when he speaks of being persecuted for righteousness' sake? Is he speaking of being persecuted for your righteous acts and your righteous living? You're living in such a way, so good, so holy, so righteous that people persecute you because of that? Is he speaking of you standing up for what you really believe to be right and people who don't agree with you persecute you? Is he speaking of standing up against abortion and same-sex marriages? You stand up against them and you're castigated for it and despised for it. Is that what he's talking about? Is he talking about you standing up for some political or moral issue that you feel very strongly about and someone of the opposite position persecutes you for it? Is that what he's talking about? Is he talking about somebody living a lifestyle that is so wrong and so contrary to the scriptures? The Bible clearly forbids the way they are living, and you come up to them and confront them about it and let them know the way they're living is wrong, and they don't take what you say well, and they despise you and hate you for it and persecute you for it because of your stand for righteousness. Is that what the Lord's talking about when he says, "Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake"? Now listen real carefully to this statement. Most persecution that goes on is not because of for righteousness' sake, but for self-righteousness' sake. You're coming across as a self-righteous, sanctimonious jerk, and people become upset with you. That's what the problem is. That's not being persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's being persecuted for self-righteousness, a sanctimonious self-righteousness that is just offensive when it comes right down to it. And that is not at all what the Lord means when he talks about being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Oh, there's the key. Not seek ye first the kingdom of God in righteousness or a righteous life, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. David said in Psalm 71 verse 16, "I've made mention of thy righteousness, even thine only." Now why did David say that? Because there is only one righteousness, the righteousness of God. Isaiah said concerning human righteousness, and he's speaking of his own too, he said, "Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Now you can just write that down. Anything that comes from me or you, in God's sight, it's nothing more than filthy rags. There's no true righteousness in it. That's why David said, "I've made mention of thy righteousness, even thine only," because his righteousness is the only righteousness there is. Now, Paul said this in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein, listen to this statement, for therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. The righteousness of God. Now, if you would ask the average person, what is it that the gospel reveals? Probably the first thing they would say is the love of God. And indeed, the gospel does reveal the love of God. Somebody else might say the mercy of God. Somebody else might say the grace of God. And I wouldn't speak against those things because the gospel does reveal those things. But if you understand the gospel rightly, the first thing the gospel reveals is the righteousness of God. Now, first of all, this speaks of His righteous character. God is righteous. He's absolutely just. He hates sin. He is holy. He is righteous. He's altogether other. He's not like me and you. He is righteous altogether. He's of too pure eyes to behold iniquity. God is holy. God is righteous. Now, the gospel reveals His righteousness in the condemnation of the sinner. Now listen to me real carefully. This is a hard thing to think about, but it's true. There is a place called hell. There is a place called hell. And it's eternal because God's justice is never satisfied with regard to the sin of the sinner. You see, every one of us are guilty of murdering His Son. Now you can say, well, I wasn't even around then. Yeah, but you were in Adam. And everything He did, you did. And if you were left to yourself and if I was left to myself, we would have been murdering God's Son. We would have been right there with Him, driving the nails in His hands and His feet. And if you don't believe that, it's because you don't know yourself. If you know yourself, you'll know that's so with regard to yourself. And God is absolutely just in sending a man to hell. It's not a reflection of harshness or meanness on His part or His character. He's absolutely righteous in sending a man to hell. That man is getting exactly what they deserve. Oh, the justice of God in condemnation. And you don't understand this at all if you don't see that this is what you deserve. This is what I deserve. I deserve to be cut off by this righteous, holy, just God. But there's something else that's revealed in the gospel. His righteousness in salvation. Not simply His mercy, not simply His grace, not simply His love, but His righteousness in salvation. When God saves a man, He makes that man deserve His favor. Now, how is that if you say our righteousnesses are as filthy rags? Well, on Calvary's tree, Christ took my sin and it became His sin. And He paid the debt. He was cut off by His Father. He suffered the wrath of God, the full equivalent of the wrath of God, something that somebody in hell can never satisfy because His death can't satisfy the justice of God. But Christ did. Christ satisfied the justice of God, and His very righteousness is given to every believer, everyone for whom He died, all of the elect. He made a way for God to be just and to justify the ungodly, and now the very righteousness of God demands their salvation. The law of God, the very law of God looks at everybody that Christ died for, and the law declares, not guilty. They're justified. They must be saved. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God. Now, Paul said in Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God.
Has your mouth ever been stopped? You quit vindicating yourself and you quit justifying yourself and you stand before God guilty as charged. That's a good place to be, because it's only then that you can hear the gospel. When you are guilty as charged. Therefore, Paul says in verse 20, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God. There's that term. The righteousness of God. Without the law, without my personal obedience to the law, is manifested. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, this is what the scriptures always taught, the Old Testament scriptures. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Now, the righteousness of God, the faith of Jesus Christ, the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ, is given to everybody who believes the gospel. Now, those are the people he died for. And what's the evidence that he died for them? They believe the gospel. And they have the very righteousness of God. Now, Paul said in Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, let me say two things about these people. They were not saved, but Paul wanted them to be saved. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said in the previous chapter, this is his love to these people he's talking about. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He was talking about his brethren, the Jews, that did not believe the gospel. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now look what he says next. I bear them record. They have a zeal of God. They're very religious. They're very zealous. They're very sincere. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness. Now here is the knowledge I must have that I can't be ignorant of. If I stay ignorant of this, I will not be saved. God's righteousness. His righteous character, his righteousness in condemning the sinner, and his righteousness in saving the sinner. We've already looked at that. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, and here's what somebody does when they're ignorant of God's righteousness. They're going about to establish their own righteousness. They're trying to work, they're trying to do good things, they're trying to avoid sin, they're trying to establish a righteousness that they think that will render God obligated to save them. If I do this, God's going to have to do that. I'm going to get this taken care of, I'm going to get that taken care of, I'm going to start living like this, quit living like that, and I'll be saved. No, you won't. No, you won't. Not according to Paul. They're going about to establish their own righteousness, and they've never submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Have you ever submitted to God as righteous? He's right and you're wrong. Have you ever submitted to His righteousness in your condemnation? Have you ever submitted to His righteousness in your salvation? How that your righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He provides the righteousness. You don't do the providing. He does. Righteousness is not something you do in order to be accepted by God. Righteousness is Him giving you His own righteousness to make you the very righteousness of God. Christ, Paul says, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, if your righteousness goes a hair past Christ, you missed Him. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, I'd like to close by looking at a statement Paul made in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think he has whereof he may trust in the flesh, I've got more than him. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law as a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. I felt like my position was so right, I wanted to persecute everybody who was of the contrary position. Touching the righteousness which is of the law, I was blameless. As far as I could tell, I actually had kept the Ten Commandments. I was somebody who was so obedient. The law would look me over. Now, he proved he was ignorant of what the law actually required at this time because he's lost, but in his lost estate, he thought, I kept the law. Now, look what he says. But what things were gained to me, I counted them on the plus side. Those I counted loss, refuse, garbage for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. What I've lost, it wasn't worth much. It was nothing more than dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Now listen to this statement real carefully. Not having my own righteousness. I don't want to have anything to do with standing before God in my own righteousness, because I know that will where that will lead. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, which is according to my obedience, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I don't want to stand in my own righteousness. I want to stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ the Lord, His perfect righteousness. And the only way I'm going to have that is if He put away my sin on Calvary's tree and gave me His righteousness. And the evidence that He did it is that I say with Paul, I don't want to have anything to do with my own righteousness. I'm trusting His only. I'm not looking anywhere but Christ alone as my righteousness before the righteousness of God. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niebuhr praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.niebuhr@gmail.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.